This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Unabridged millennial Mason Payne here live from the MVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. There's a lot of things in the tech world going on with Apple and Android, so joining me to speak about the latest Apple and Android news is staff writer at PC World and Mac World, Michael Simon. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
You're welcome.
I wanted to know, is it true that Apple has given up their iPod? Is it because sales went down, or is it just because it's obsolete?
Well, they did stop selling the Shuffle and the Nano, which was the iPods that they had in existence. But they still sell the iPod Touch, which is essentially a non-cellular version of the iPhone. You can still do the apps, and it has a touchscreen and all that stuff. I mean, it does make sense that, at some point soon, maybe within a year or so, that there will be no more iPods because everyone is starting to become where everyone has either the iPad mini or the iPhone. And the iPod is kind of there for kids and for people who don't necessarily want a phone. And, you know, it remains to be seen how long they keep it around, but it's certainly not a big seller for them. And I don't think we're going to see any new models anytime soon either.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be new models, but it's a lot of nostalgia for me because I remember saving up for like a year to get one of the new iPods. And then I think that summer, like 2 months later, a new one came out and it broke my heart.
Yeah, that's how it was. They were, you know, back then it was $400, so they weren't cheap.
I don't think they're cheap now. Hell.
Yeah, but they do a lot more. Before, they just did music. I mean, you were paying $400 just so you could listen to a bunch of songs. Now they do the iPod Touch does everything the iPhone does except make calls. So, you know, yeah, you're right. They do cost a few hundred dollars still. but you're getting a lot more for your money. But yeah, I saved up for my first iPod too, the 5 gig with the spinny click wheel.
Oh, yes.
I loved it till the day I died.
You know what? I loved it too because I remember taking the Metro out here, and it fell on the floor, and I thought, oh no, it's gonna break. And I picked it up, and the wheel was all like out of the case, and I was like, I gotta salvage this somehow. And I pushed it back in, and it still worked. I loved it.
Yeah, they were rugged, those devices. You know? A lot more than the ones today. You drop your iPhone and your screen's cracked in 12 places.
Yeah, you get all those weird little spider web fractures, right?
Yep.
Speaking of the iPhone, how long has it been around?
Yeah, 2007 was when the original iPhone came out, June of 2007. So it's been about 10 years. It's been a little over 10 years.
Wow, I don't know why, but I thought it was out a lot earlier, like 2005. But still, 10 years, a little over, is still a long time, right?
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, it's amazing how far it's come in 10 years that we can do so much on these things. And on the other hand, it feels like it's been here forever. Like, you know, you can't remember. I had a Razor phone in early 2007, and I don't even remember what that was like. I was only able to make calls, and that seems so foreign to me now. It's crazy.
You know what? It's so funny. I had a Razor too. Like, oh, we're going down the lane, right? And I remember at that time, it was either a BlackBerry or you had a Razor. It was like either you went really big or you went as thin as possible. And then the iPhone came around, and it was kind of like, well, it was, you waited a couple years to see if it even like kept up, I guess. And now it's like everybody has an iPhone.
Yeah, or something similar. You know, I mean, it's either an iPhone or a Galaxy or a Pixel, or, you know, they all have that. The smartphone is so prevalent that you see someone with a flip phone and you're like, wow, what's that?
But in recent years, has iPhone users gone down?
I don't think so. I mean, people make a big deal out of Apple's growth because it was so huge after the iPhone and also before that, the iPod. I mean, people don't remember. Or maybe some do, but a lot of people don't remember that in 2002, as we'll say, Apple was, you know, not doing well. The Mac was struggling. You know, Steve Jobs had come back about 5 years earlier, and, you know, the iMac was there, so that was popular for a few years, but that was starting to dip, and then the iMac G4 came out, and they weren't a robust company at all, and, you know, people were wondering if they were going to just go bankrupt, and the iPod really saved them. That's what brought them or put them back on the map, and then the iPhone just blew it open. So when you think about their history, they grew in leaps and bounds between, say, 2001 and 2012 or 13. I'm not sure the exact year. And in the last couple of years, it's slowed down. But they're still selling 50 million iPods in a down quarter. In a holiday quarter, they sell almost 80. And if you look around, you don't have to look far to see someone using an iPhone. So I don't think they've gone down. I think that the upgrade cycle has maybe slowed a little bit. And I think that the market has become a lot more saturated than it was when they first came out. I mean, they were the only ones selling them. And now there's a lot more competition, and there's a lot more people who have them. And let's face it, they're expensive. They're, you know, $700-$800, and people aren't rushing to upgrade every year or even every 2 years. But I think as far as their numbers go, as far as their users go, I think they are doing just fine.
You're right about that upgrading. I mean, like we talked about that with the iPod, is that every 6 to 8 months there was a new one, and people were more than willing to keep upgrading. And it's not really the case anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they were a lot cheaper back then. The Shuffle was $100. The Nano, I think, was 180, maybe 200. So they were good gifts for people. They were good for kids. You know, you didn't have to worry about getting online or anything like that. So parents bought them for graduation presents and Christmas presents and birthday presents. That's not so much with the iPhone. I mean, I have a son, and I'm not about to buy him a $1,000 phone for Christmas. So it's a little different demographics, and it's a little different price point. Yeah, I mean, I think that the iPhone is clearly their biggest seller, and clearly what keeps the company, you know, churning. But I don't think that if people wait 2 or 3 years to upgrade, I don't think that's going to necessarily hurt Apple or hurt their bottom line at all.
Yeah, one of the things that I think Apple does is they bring out a product and they kind of sit on it and wait for it to get better. And I don't mean to get the product get better, but the market to get better, because their iWatch didn't sell that well, I think, after the initial release. But now it's they actually partnered with Aetna. Do you know more about that partnership?
Yeah, well, there's two stages to it. The partnership that Apple has with Aetna for Apple Watch is right now limited to employees of Aetna. They announced it last December. So if you work for Aetna, you can get an Apple Watch as part of their health and wellness program. The latest rumor, which isn't you know, confirmed yet, and maybe we'll find out more next week at the event, is that Aetna would offer Apple Watch to everyone, to all of their customers, so if you're a subscriber to Aetna's health insurance, you'd be able to get either a discounted Apple Watch or a free Apple Watch. I mean, I don't know the terms of the program because the program's not out yet, but other insurance companies do offer like Fitbits and things like this for free. So it's possible that it would be either a heavily discounted Apple Watch or a free Apple Watch. And what that would do is promote, obviously, Apple, but also promote health and wellness, because these are little devices that remind you to move and remind you to exercise, and even just simple things like standing. I mean, I work at a computer all day. I can sit at my desk for 7 hours, and my Apple Watch gives me a little gentle vibration that says, all right, you know, you've been sitting for a long time. That's not good for you. Just get up and walk around for a couple of minutes. And we don't realize how important those little things are to our health and our well-being. And I think Apple Watch, if they were to, you know, partner with Aetna, and even other insurance companies, you know, it goes a long way towards keeping us healthy and keeping us out of the hospitals and out of doctor's offices.
You know, there's a lot of things out there with data breaches. Do you think like Apple is better prepared for those than other companies?
I mean, I'll say yes, because they haven't been breached, but they could be breached tomorrow. I mean, Apple has, you know, they take security very seriously, and you have to opt into a lot of their programs to share data, unlike Google, which you have to opt out of to share. So a lot of, you know, you control how much Apple sees of your information. A lot is stored on the device itself, so they don't, you know, even if somebody were to break into Apple's iCloud server, let's say, what's on your phone, even your backups and things, like, they're heavily encrypted. And so if somebody were to, let's say somebody packed Apple and got all these accounts, they would tell you, you know, you'd obviously have to change your password, but there isn't a whole lot they can get without having the physical device itself. So in that case, or in that sense, Apple is better prepared than, say, Google, who, you know, they have, it's a different way that Google operates, where, you know, they have their you know, Gmail and their services, and then they faction that out to do all sorts of different phones, and those phones have varying levels of encryption. You know, the Samsung ones are great, but other ones aren't, and it depends on what phone you're using, how much data they can get. And there's been, you know, Gmail breaches and things, and, you know, it does happen. And Apple has been, I guess, either lucky or smart to not really have a mass-scale data hack yet. But like I said, even if they were to, you would your information, your personal information that you have on your phone, your pictures, your credit card information, and things like that are very heavily encrypted and very heavily protected.
The reason I asked was because if going back to the Aetna thing, I was kind of thinking, like, if you were, I don't know, you didn't get up when it vibrated, would Aetna know? And then, you know, they would up your insurance, you know, like, I was just curious if it was possible that they could be like looking in on your information too, but it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, I would highly doubt that would ever happen. And if it was, it would be, you would have to opt into it, and they would be, Apple would make sure it was very explicit that you knew what you were opting into. And I don't think they would ever compromise their customer security or their personal information by just sending that off without saying, okay, listen, when you move and your fitness stats and your steps, we're going to send this to Aetna. And I think most people would probably opt out of that clause, but I don't think they would just allow that just because, you know, they signed a deal with Aetna. I'd be very surprised. And they would, once somebody found out, they would get some negative PR over that too.
Yeah, I wouldn't want anybody to know that I slept for about 14 hours a day.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's lots of things I don't want people to know about that stuff, sure.
One of the things I was reading about was that Apple is going to do some early digital releases. Do you know anything?
Yeah, that's another heavily rumored part of possibly this event next week. And for those who don't know, it's September 12th is Apple's a big iPhone event, and they usually release something around Apple TV, and then they talk about Apple Watch. So there's a lot coming out next Tuesday. But as far as digital releases go, yeah, the rumor is that they're in talks with the major Hollywood studios to offer releases on iTunes well before it hits the DVD market or even the digital release market. So how that would work is, let's say the new Avengers movie comes out. So there would be a limited time in theater, say 2 weeks to 4 weeks, where you can only see it in the theater, and then it would pop up on in your iTunes account or on your Apple TV, wherever you watch iTunes. And it would probably be pretty expensive. The prices that people are floating are $50, maybe even $100 to rent it for a day or two. And you know, there's two problems here. One is, are people willing to spend that much money to not go to a movie theater? And the number two is that obviously Hollywood studios are saying, wait a minute, this is going to severely cut down on our revenue and our ticket sales in theaters. And based on this past summer, you know, I just read an article this morning, in fact, that sales were like the lowest they've been in 10 years for summer movies. So I don't know if that makes it more or less likely for that to happen. I'm not sure. Maybe they're saying, okay, people are going to the movies less, so let's try this. Or maybe they're saying that this is going to hurt us even more and we're less likely to try it. I'm not sure. But that's the crux of it. And, I mean, I don't know how I feel about it. I like going to the movies. I like seeing, you know, big budget movies or even small indie films in theaters when they're out. It's different than watching it in my home. And it's expensive. Unless I have 10 friends with me that we would all pay, you know, $10 to get in, it's $50 for a two-hour, so I rent it for a day or two. If I start watching and then something happens and I stop, I lose it. So it seems as though it's probably not going to happen within this year. I think it has a little bit more time for them to work out the kinks and really figure out, you know, what this type of program would be.
You're right about that when it comes to the experience. I mean, you go to the theater to sit there and be mad at people who are texting and talking. I mean, you wouldn't get that anywhere else, right?
And what's great about it is I mean, I don't text in the theater, and it's one place I know for 2.5 hours, I can just sit and enjoy a movie. If I'm watching a TV show at home, my phone's right next to me. I'm looking stuff up. I'm answering calls. I'm sending texts. I'm working even. So I'm totally distracted. If I'm paying $50 for a movie, I think I'd rather go into a theater to do it. But that's just me. You know, I'm sure other people would love it.
Yeah. The $50, the only way I think I would pay $50 is if it was available the same day that it was in theaters. Because if I have to wait a month, I'm going to see it in the theater anyways then.
Yeah, right. If it's something you want to see. If you're willing to pay that much, you really want to see it.
Right.
Or if they let you keep it. Like if it was $50 for, like you can have it. Like if it's in your library and you can watch it whenever you want, maybe. But even then, you know, we'll see. I think we're a little far off before that becomes a reality.
You know, I don't think that's the first time I heard something like this happening. Like cable companies, I think, were throwing this around too at one point a few years ago. Yeah.
It's been talked about for a little while. Yeah, I mean, it's just Hollywood trying to figure out what the next phase of movie watching is.
When it comes to Apple, it seems like they're just kind of trying to make their products a little bit better, but are they going to actually come out with any new products?
Well, the new product that is coming out is HomePod, which we saw at their developers conference, WWDC, back in June. And that is like an Echo or Google Home type speaker. It's a high fidelity device, so it's really keyed into music. And you can talk to it, and you can play music, and you can play. You can the same thing you can do with your Amazon Echo. You can ask your questions, you can have reminders and timers and recipes and all that other stuff. So that's coming out sometime in the next couple of months. They said December, and I'm sure we'll learn a little bit more about it next week. But it's essentially a home speaker that will hook up to Siri and your iPhone and all those types of things. And that's a new category for Apple. They haven't done that. So we'll see where that goes. It's a little expensive. I think it's $400. But that should be up by the holidays, and we'll see how that sells. And then there's also AirPods, which is their new, I mean, they've been out for about 10 months now, but that's their wireless speaker system that you just kind of pop them in your ears. They're completely wireless, and they don't have, they don't even have the little neck thing that connects them. They just pop into your ears. So we could see the second generation of that, which would be it's not a new product, but it might bring it to more people, because the supply of those has been pretty constrained, and a lot of people don't know about it, and they're a little expensive. So, you know, that could be like the iPod, where the first model people waited to see how it would sell, and now, you know, maybe AirPods will be one of Apple's bigger product lines.
Oh my God, I've totally forgot about AirPods. Like, those are the joke was is that you could lose them because they don't have the little string attached to them. Oh, but you know what? I haven't heard anybody really losing them. So is that not an issue?
Yeah, I guess not. I haven't heard anyone either. I've used them, and they fit in your ear very comfortably. You have to be, you have to be mindful of them. If you're careless, you can lose them. But I haven't heard anything about people walking around and saying, "Oh my God, it fell out of my ear," and I didn't know it. They're light enough, and they fit in your ear well enough where you can shake your head back and forth, and you can jump up and down, and be on a subway and stopping short, and they do well to stay in your ear, and they have a little case that you can carry around that fits in your pocket. So yeah, I don't think that's as much of an issue as people originally thought it was going to be.
Out of curiosity, because I don't own one, how do you charge them?
There's a little case that has a lightning cable on it, and you plug in the case, you put your phone, your little earbuds in the case. It looks like a little package of dental floss. It's that small.
Oh wow!
And you plug it in, and they charge relatively quickly. And then the case itself also has a little battery. So if you're out somewhere and your AirPods lose charge, you can pop them into that case and charge them to listen for another couple hours.
Oh, that is so cool to have a little charge inside the case. That's smart.
Yeah, it is. They're super portable. They last, well over a day, unless you listen, for 12 hours. It's a cool device. And I think that connected with the Apple Watch, I think that's where Apple is going next with these wearables and these things that really kind of supplant the need to carry your phone around everywhere.
Okay, so we talked a lot about Apple. Is there anything coming up with Android?
Oh, yeah. I mean, end of the year, Android has tons of stuff. The Galaxy Note 8, Samsung's newest giant phone, it's 6.3 inches. That comes out next week. And reviews actually just went up this morning, and they're pretty stellar. I had one, and I gave it 5 stars. It's a great phone. It has a fantastic screen, a great camera. There's it still has the S Pen, so you have a little stylus pin built into it, which you don't see on too many phones anymore. Up next is the LG has their V30. That's coming out probably. They announced it last week. They didn't say when, but most likely the end of September or the latest early October. And that's another six-inch phone, you know, skinny little bezels and great camera and everything else. That's another fantastic phone. And then Google finishes the year with the Pixel, which was new last year, and that made quite a splash. People really, really liked that. And the rumor is early October, which is when it was announced last year. And what's great about the Pixel is that you get Android, the newest version of Android, immediately. So, you know, it'll have Android Oreo on it, and when upgrades come out or updates come out, you're the first. That's the first phone to get them. So that's the big selling point there. And so those are the three big phones coming up in Android world, and then of course the iPhone 8. So we have it's a pretty busy end of the year with when it comes to smartphones.
When it comes to cell phone manufacturers, you have the big ones, LG, Samsung, Google, Apple, but what about Huawei? The only reason I ask is because Huawei is always saying they're going to come out with a big new thing that's going to beat Apple or Android, you know? So is there any clout to that?
Huawei phones are excellent. They have their own chip. And because of that, they're sometimes better than the other, even the Galaxy phones, because they, you know, when you make your own silicon, you can kind of tune it to the hardware. And they're coming out with the Mate 9, I believe it is. That'll be in October. And you know, the Mate, last year's Mate was fantastic. It's just they make fantastic phones. The biggest issue with Huawei is getting into the U.S. Carriers. And that's been their biggest stumbling point. You can't use it if you have Verizon. It doesn't work quite. I mean, it works well enough with AT&T and T-Mobile, but they don't sell them in their stores, so you have to buy it unlocked and then bring it there. And people just don't do that. But the biggest one is Verizon, because it doesn't work. It just doesn't work on that network. So if you're a Verizon customer or a Sprint customer, you physically can't use it. It won't work with unless you're going to switch. But even with AT&T, T-Mobile, you'd be surprised how many people still buy their phones from carriers. They go into the Verizon store or the AT&T store, and that's what they buy. Whatever's there, whatever the newest phone is, whether it's the Galaxy or the iPhone, that's what they buy. They still use those stores and the websites to buy their phones, and Huawei just has no presence whatsoever. So the average person doesn't don't even know they exist. And, you know, every 6 months or so, I'll read an article that they're working with the carriers, and I'm sure they are. But it's tricky because there's a lot of terms that you have to work with them very closely. They're not an American company, obviously, so Samsung isn't either, but they have a very large U.S. presence. And Huawei just doesn't really have that foothold in the United States. Over in China, they're huge. They're pushing to beat Apple for the number two smartphone maker. I mean, they're a big company, but in the U.S. they haven't been able to break ground yet, and we'll see if they can in the future, because they do. They make fantastic phones.
You're right about that. I'm one of those customers who I went into Sprint and I just bought whatever phone they had in there because yeah. I don't and, even bother. You know, it's there.
Sure. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a perfectly fine way to shop. I mean, you go into a store, they have lots of phones. You can touch them, you can try them out, you can see which one feels better in your pocket. I mean, it's a great way to shop. There's nothing wrong with it. And it's just that people just don't really buy, or the majority of people just don't buy unlocked phones and bring them to their carrier. They just don't do that.
My producer, she actually goes on eBay and she buys unlocked phones. So I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, it is a market, and Apple sells theirs, and Samsung sells theirs, and Google sells theirs unlocked. So you can do that, and you know, some people do, but you have to really know what you're doing, and you have to really be, you know, in tune with what's out there and what's new to get into that, you know, to that way of purchasing. I buy unlocked phones, too, for what it's worth.
Now I'm going to have to go on eBay to see what phones are unlocked. I'm going to have to do some research on this.
You don't even have to. I mean, you can get them through Amazon. You can get them through the manufacturer's website. So, I mean, everyone sells unlocked phones these days.
What?
It's just that the carriers, the carriers rule, but you can. Yeah, if you go to Samsung's website, you can get the Note 8 unlocked right now for $930.
Oh, so that's
and
the
use
catch.
It on whatever carrier you want.
I have to pay for it in full.
You have to pay up front, yes, up front, yeah. That's actually a big catch. It's good that you mentioned that, because you're right. You do. You have to pay that chunk up front, where at Verizon, you'll get it. It'll be $35 a month for 2 years, or $40 a month, whatever that works out to. So, yeah, it's a big expense, and you have to, you know, there's generally not a payment plan. Some of them do. Like the major, like Samsung probably offers payment plans on a lot, so does Apple. But if you go to eBay, obviously, you got to pay that all at once, and they're not cheap.
Well, thank you, Michael, for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. And for those listening, where can they find you at?
I am a writer for PC World and Mac World, and you can find my articles there every day. And I'm at Twitter at Morlium, which is a funny, it's a funky name, but you can just search for Michael Simon, you'll find me.
Well, thanks so much for being here. I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.